Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with the prophecy of the coming king, as we pick up in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 3. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
It would seem that this particular prophecy in the first part here of chapter 9 is a reference to the coming of Alexander the Great and conquering this territory, the territory of Syria and then of Lebanon and on south into the coastal plains of Israel. So Tyrus did build herself a stronghold, heaped up the silver as dust, fine gold as the mud in the streets. Behold, the Lord will cast her out, and he will smite her power in the sea. Interesting. Of course, at this time, they had already built the island fortress. And she shall be devoured with fire. Of course, Alexander the Great burned the city of Tyrus to the ground after he conquered it because of the fact that they dared to defy him. Now, the southern coastal cities, Ashkelon shall see it and fear. Gaza also shall see it and be very sorrowful. And Ekron, for her expectation shall be ashamed. And the king shall perish from Gaza, and Ashkelon shall not be inhabited. And a bastard shall dwell in Ashdod, and I will cut off the pride of the Philistines. So the Philistines were destroyed and cut off by Alexander the Great. And I will take away his blood out of his mouth and his abominations from between his teeth. But he that remaineth, even he, shall be for our God. And he shall be as the governor in Judah, and Ekron as a Jebusite. And I will encamp about mine house because of the army. So God is saying, I will more or less be the defense. Because of him that passes by. And that's all Alexander the Great did. He passed by. He did not take Jerusalem. And because of him that returneth, and he back and forth, and no oppressor shall pass through them any more, for now have I seen with mine eyes. Now, the latter part of the prophecy goes out to the kingdom age. Now, in verse 9, we have a remarkable prophecy concerning Jesus Christ that is quoted by Matthew. But it is interesting to notice how the Holy Spirit quotes this prophecy in Matthew. The significance is that which was left out. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, upon a colt, the foal of an ass. So here is the prophecy of the coming king. He is lowly. He is riding on an ass, upon the colt, the foal of an ass. This was fulfilled, of course, in what we call the triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. When he came down the Mount of Olives, riding on this colt upon which no man had ever ridden before. And the disciples took their coats and placed them in the path, and they waved palm branches, crying, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Psalm 118, the Messianic Psalm. Now, Matthew says, this was done in order that the scripture might be fulfilled, saying, Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. But Matthew did not quote this next part. He is just and having salvation. But he jumped that phrase and quoted, He is lowly, riding upon an ass, upon the colt, the foal of an ass. Why didn't Matthew quote, He is just and having salvation? Because in the first coming, Jesus did not establish the kingdom. When Jesus comes again, he is coming, first of all, in righteousness to judge the earth. He is just. The coming to judge is yet future. And so that is why it is not quoted by Matthew in the first coming of Jesus. That awaits the second coming when Jesus establishes his throne and gathers together the nations of the earth for judgment. And it is then when the promise of salvation will be to the Jews and to the world. So he is just in having salvation. That day has not yet come Matthew significantly does not quote that part of this prophecy. But Jesus did come, even as Zechariah described, riding upon the colt. And the Lord declares, I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim, the horse from Jerusalem, the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace unto the heathen, and his dominion shall be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. There are many promises in the Old Testament concerning the reign, the coming reign of Jesus Christ. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David to order it and to establish it in righteousness and in judgment henceforth, even forever, for the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform this. This is that time when the rock not cut with hands smites the great image of man's governments and brings an end to man's feudal efforts to govern man, and the rock grows into a mountain that covers the earth, the glorious coming kingdom of Jesus Christ that will cover the earth. And then shall be fulfilled Psalm 2, ask of me, and I will give to thee the heathen for thine inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. His kingdom shall be from sea to sea, from the river to the ends of the world. Oh, I can hardly wait as I look at the poor governments of the world today struggling, getting more expensive all the time, and failing to bring real peace, real justice, real hope for man. Oh, Jesus, come quickly. Establish your righteous kingdom. As for thee also, by the blood of thy covenant, I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit wherein is no water. Turn to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. Interesting that he speaks of the blood of his covenant. And of course, that's what Jesus established through his death. The blood of thy covenant. And these prisoners who were in the pit, in the abuso, were freed, or they were actually in Gehenna. Turn you to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare that I will render double unto thee. When I have bent Judah for me, filled the bow with Ephraim, raised up the sons, O Zion, against thy sons, O Greece, and made thee as the sword of a mighty man. And the Lord shall be seen over them, and his arrows shall go forth as the lightning. And the Lord God shall blow the trumpet, and shall go with the whirlwinds of the south. And the Lord of hosts shall defend them, and they shall devour and subdue with the sling stones. And they shall drink and make a noise as through wine, and they shall be filled like bowls, and as the corners of the altar. And the Lord their God shall save them in that day as the flock of his people, for they shall be as the stones of a crown lifted up as the ensign upon this land. For how great is his goodness, and how great is his beauty. Corn shall make the young men cheerful, new wine the maid. So God's glorious kingdom age. And as we see the Lord reigning, will be declared, how great is his goodness and how great is his beauty. Now, in this kingdom age, the promises of the Lord. Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. So the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to everyone grass in the field. For the idols have spoken vanity, the diviners have seen a lie, and they have told false dreams. They have comforted in vain. Therefore they went their way as a flock. They were troubled because there was no shepherd. My anger was kindled against the shepherds, and I punished the goats For the Lord of hosts hath visited his flock, the house of Judah, and hath made them as his goodly horse in the battle. And out of him came forth the corner, out of him the nail, out of him the battle bow, and out of him every oppressor together. And they shall be as a mighty man which tread down their enemies in the mire of the streets in the battle, and they shall fight because the Lord is with them, and the riders on horses shall be confounded. And I will strengthen the house of Judah, and will save the house of Joseph, and will bring them again to the place, for I have mercy upon them, and they shall be as though I had not cast them off, for I am the Lord their God, and will hear them. The glorious restoration, when God returns again the land to the people completely. What we see today is not really the fulfillment here of this portion of Zechariah. And they of Ephraim shall be like a mighty man, and their heart shall rejoice as through wine. Yea, their children shall see it and be glad. Their heart shall rejoice in the Lord. I will hiss for them and gather them, for I have redeemed them, and they shall increase as they have increased. So the promises of God, the pouring forth of this latter rain upon the people, the rebuke of the false prophets, the diviners, those who have told their false dreams to comfort the people in vain. Problem that the people had because of the lack of leadership and God stepping forth to their defense. Ephraim, their heart shall rejoice in the Lord. The Bible makes a very clear distinction between the mind of man and the heart of man. The mind of man deals more in the shallow areas of a person's life, moods, emotions, where the heart deals more with that temperament of an individual. God wants your heart. God wants not a change of mind, but a change of heart. You know, you can change your mind quite often, and people do. Your heart is changed very rarely. Your heart is really only changed when you are born again. That brings a change of heart, a change of temperament, a change of whole. Your whole life is changed when your heart is given to God. That's what God is calling for, the change of heart. So rejoicing in your heart is rejoicing in the deepest level of your life, and it is not a variable, as is the happiness that the world is pursuing today. While we are gathered here studying the Word of God around the city, there are people gathered seeking happiness. And it's amazing the various things that they are doing as they are looking for happiness. There are little kids glued to the asteroid machines, shooting down all of these alien invaders. They're looking for happiness, excitement, thrill. But how long does it last? Pretty soon, Gorf will say, "You are stupid. I have defeated you again, space cadet." The quarter's gone. Happiness is such a variable where the rejoicing, the joy of the Lord is a constant thing deep within. So as a Christian, you're going to have mixed emotions. Sorrow in the area of your mind, but still joy in your heart. The Lord has seen fit to take one of our beautiful saints from Calvary, Sue McCurdy, one who gave herself so freely, so fully to the Lord and to the things of the Lord. One who loved nature, and you find a person who has a deep love for nature, you find a person with a deep love for God, for God's creation. And we've loved Sue McCurdy and her husband Ken. They've been just a tremendous blessing to us. Sue was always an athletic type, always trying to get me to exercise more. and to get into shape. She felt that God had called her to help me to become healthier and gave me books, and I read them. They were very interesting. And now Sue has gone to be with the Lord, and we're going to miss her. My heart is my mind is heavy, to be truthful. My heart rejoices. I know Sue's with the Lord. I know there's no more pain. Now, God saw fit to take her by cancer, and why, I don't know, but that's something that is a part of God's planning, and I know that the present suffering, which is for a moment, is not worthy to be compared with the glory that she's already experienced there in the presence of God. And so we sorrow because we've lost a dear friend. But in the same token, I rejoice in the Lord that God has prepared a place for his children, that God has prepared a kingdom, and that we are all children of the King. And one day we will gather with Sue in the new body that will be in perfect shape. Sue's ministry to me is over. When I see her again, I'm going to be in great shape in that new body. And I rejoice in the glorious hope through Jesus Christ. Though yet I grieve and I sorrow because I'm going to miss Sue so very much. I needed her to exhort me on my weight problem. Their heart shall rejoice in the Lord. My heart continually rejoices in the Lord because the character of God is constant. He said, "Behold, I am the Lord God, I change not." He's constant. His love for you is constant. It's not a variable. God's love for you does not alter from one day to another. God's love for you does not alter with your moods. Aren't you thankful? Oh, what a nasty mood you're in today. I can't stand you. No, God never says that to you. He says, "Oh, what a nasty mood you're in today. I love you so much." You see, God's love isn't a variable. It doesn't change. It's constant. And thus, if I rejoice in the Lord, my rejoicing is constant. I don't rejoice in circumstances. They are the variable. Sometimes I do. Then other times I don't. All depends on the circumstances. But the rejoicing in the Lord is always constant because the Lord is constant in his relationship to me, in his love for me, in his goodness to me, in the hope that he has given. The Lord said, "I will hiss for them." Now, hissing is something that we don't do in the English culture, and I'm glad. It's a shrill kind of a sound of disdain and anger and hatred. And in that Oriental culture, they are quite emotional and demonstrative. And they get real upset and they start to hiss. And as they hiss, they let sort of the spittle too, you know. So they get right up in your face, they go, "Pss," you know, and you, "Pss," "Pss," you know. And it's something you do to show great disdain against an enemy. God said, "I will hiss for them." That's interesting. God will take your side. God will stand up for you. "And I will gather them, for I have redeemed them, and they shall increase as they have increased." God's my people. I'll stand up for them. I'll hiss for them. I'll take their side. "And I will sow them among the people, and they shall remember me in the far countries, and they shall live with their children and turn again. And I will bring them again also out of the land of Egypt and gather them out of Assyria. I will bring them into the land of Gilead and Lebanon, and place shall not be found for them. And he shall pass through the sea with affliction, and shall smite the waves in the sea, and all of the deeps of the river shall dry up. And the pride of Assyria shall be brought down, and the scepter of Egypt shall depart away. This is all a part of that kingdom age. The people of God have been brought through the sea of affliction, no doubt. And the Lord said, I will strengthen them in the Lord, and they will walk up and down in his name, saith the Lord. So God's glorious restoration of the nation Israel, his relationship to these people, as God becomes their strength, and as they walk up and down in his name, saith the Lord.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Zechariah on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Zechariah 9 through 10 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord be with you and watch over and keep you in the love of Jesus Christ through the week. May you be strengthened by his Spirit in your inner man. And may you comprehend more and more what is the length and the depth and the height and the breadth of God's great love for you. And may you just bask in that love this week. May you be filled with that love. May you overflow with that love as you reach out to those around you who are less fortunate to help, to strengthen, to supply. God be with you, and may he use you as his instrument to show his love to this needy world. In Jesus' name.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
Sometimes it's difficult to know what to say or how to help someone who is going through a recent death in the family or a sudden tragedy that's happened. And it's in times like this that we want to be used by God to bring encouragement, hope, and most of all, love to our family and friends who are going through a hardship. That's why I'd like to tell you about a book by Chuck Smith called When the Storm Hits. I'm amazed when I read this book that it's able to encourage and strengthen a person and persuade them to look to Jesus and not at their problem. It encourages us to be patient, not to lose hope, and when the storm hits, to get anchored on Jesus, the rock, and don't let go. To order a copy of Chuck Smith's book, When the Storm Hits, please call The Word for Today at 800-272-9673. Or you can visit us online to read a preview of the book by visiting thewordfortoday.org.